Hi, it's Marcia. Welcome to Midnight in the Marciaverse.
From the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, it's Midnight in the Marciaverse, starring Marcia Warfield and her two sons, Stephen Roberts and Skills Hudson, as the problem child.
So, welcome to Midnight in the Marciaverse. This is when we get together once a week and chill, as my goal in life is to help America chill, because we get too freaking excited and we don't listen and communicate, and a lot of stuff gets lost. So this is a magic time of day. This is that point between yesterday and tomorrow, and it's still today. It's midnight, and it's the witching hour. I don't know what you like to start with. I like to start with some refreshments, adult refreshments, because this is grown folks' time. And so this is a grown folks' show. So we're going to do grown folks' stuff. And one of the things we like to do is have a little cannabis and cognac. Get you in the mood. Get you to that yeah moment. So the cannabis we're having today is a little cute little disposable, disposable. This is a silver, super silver haze. And, you know, you just put it in your pocket and your hand, you know, and take your little hit, put it aside. Nobody's the wiser. And we also have in the glass my wife makes me drink from, because she said she was tired of red cups and whatnot. Now, we do have nice stuff. So in that glass, we're going to have a little douce, the official drink of hip hop. I don't know. This, I have a residency, a semi bi-weekly residency at the Ice House in Pasadena. And they called this, with a soda back, an upper ghetto, because I am upper ghetto. And this is the drink of upper ghetto with sparkling water back. Here you go. Here's to you. Here's to a good show. Here's to a good life. Here's to lots of sex. Okay, we're ready. Now that we've had a little grease for our gears, last week we talked about the Met Gala and how at the Met Gala they were celebrating black dandies. But they seem to start their history in the Harlem Renaissance. But dandies had been part of minstrelsy, and I went into that and we talked about that. And I'm, you know, I like to be stylish, but I'm not really fashion oriented. So it's ironic that the first thing I want to talk about is fashion. Because I was scrolling on TikTok and I happened to see this woman talking about these gowns that were just mind blowing. And I didn't know what the occasion was or anything. And she, as she was describing it, said it was from Nigeria. And it was the African Magic Viewer's Choice Awards, which I guess is kind of like a People's Choice Award here. But it's very elegant and high fashion and just a formal affair. And these gowns that she was showing were freaking amazing. They were like I said, I don't usually get into red carpet stuff, but this was just gorgeous. And the theme was Mother Nature. And these gowns managed to capture some aspect of Mother Nature in such a reverent and beautiful way. It was stunning. And as I watched, you know, because I had to work today, so I didn't have enough time to just luxuriate in this wonderfulness. But they had men's fashions, and I thought it was an interesting juxtaposition of how Black people do style, fashion, glamour in that area, you know, in that upper ghetto atmosphere, as opposed to how, like, the Met Gala, which was featured Black people, but not necessarily Black designers, it wouldn't be called a Black event. And I was just viscerally drawn to the Nigerian fashions and the statement they made. These women look like Mother Earth. They looked like the goddesses that I worship in the Church of Jesus. They looked like royalty. And there was one outfit that just took my breath away. This woman was stunning. I mean, there were so many, but there was one woman, she was in all gold, and she had a big crown. And when you look, the whole thing was made of safety pins. And they look like jewels. It looks like, I don't know, it's just the workmanship, the design, the effect. Everything was just breathtaking. And so when my sons and my guests come out, we got a wonderful guest. You're going to really enjoy meeting and talking to her. I'm so happy she's here. Roz Ryan. So we let it out the bag. But look forward to that. We're going to get to her in just a minute. And I want to talk to them about their impressions of this. You know, it's like discovering, and it feels weird to be discovering this event, which obviously has been going on a while, which obviously is a very high fashion, sophisticated thing. But for us to just be discovering it, or for me to just be discovering it, feels wrong. It feels like I should have known about this from Jump Street. And if I had to go somewhere, I would want any one of the designers I saw to make me anything, if they would, because there was a woman looked like an electric tree. I'm like, why not? That's just amazing. Her hair, her whole thing. Anyway, so if you get a chance, check that out. And we're going to be probably revisiting this and similar topics, because the history of Black people worldwide has not only not really been told, but it just doesn't expand into all different kinds of aspects of our lives. And so to learn more and more and share is critically important nowadays, especially when they're, you know, trying to take Black people out the African American History Museum. I mean, how the hell are you going to take Black people out the African American History Museum? That's just crazy. And they're trying to erase us out of all kinds of stuff. So I'm going to be painting my canvas with as much information as I can find. One of the things I like to do is I love social media, and I like to go through social media and see what people are talking about. They fascinate me. And as you know, I have founded the Warfield School of Comedy at MFU. And our School of Sheology is where we learn about the Church of Jesus and our ministry. Okay, but I like to find women's words to live by that inspire us, that speak to the nature of the essence of why we worship the life givers and their wisdom. I want you to take a look at this video I found, I think, on Instagram. Take a look.
One thing about me, I'm gonna let that coochie breathe. Two things about me, I'm gonna let that coochie breathe. A breath. Take a breath, mama. Take a breath. Ain't nobody got time. You sitting here funky coochied out just because you want to wear tight pants and leggings and Lulu fucking Lemon all goddamn day. Fuck Lulu and fuck Lemon. Go ahead and get you a little cloth, okay? Go ahead, look like a little spiritual hoe real quick. Get you a little cloth, put a dot in the middle of your forehead, and open up them legs and let that coochie breathe. Get into a little squat. Come on, let's do it. Get into a little squat, hoe. You see that? You're already looking real spiritual around this bitch. Get into a little squat and let her breathe. Let her go.
Okay, y'all. She's saying you got to air out your coochie and let it breathe. So, all right. So, I think those words we really need to keep in mind. You know, let it breathe. Let it breathe. So another thing I was doing on the internet, most of the things I do on the internet, I can tell you about some of the stuff I do, ain't none of your business. But this one was, I saw a video about how Native American children were kidnapped and given up for adoption to white families, specifically for them to civilize the children. So they would embark on this campaign of forced assimilation where they didn't let them see their families, speak their language, talk about any of their customs. They had to basically become John and Jane White. And it boggles my mind how, what kind of people think that makes sense? Why would you want to do that to anybody? Why wouldn't you want to know what they know? Why wouldn't you want to hear about their customs and traditions and learn the things they have to share and teach us? It's just amazing that this is the mindset of a lot of people. And it's not just Native children who have suffered, and it's not just children. You know, a lot of the Black codes and Jim Crow laws forced Black people to assimilate. And I know a lot of young people are upset about integration. And I think that's kind of misplaced. You know, integration and getting along with people, it doesn't mean you're going to move in their house or anything too serious. It just means we all live together and it ain't no big deal. But assimilation is the problem. You know, we all don't want to be like what we see of other people. I don't want to be competitive and in conflict all the time and want to be the number one and own everything. You know, I think most Americans want to have enough and we'd be fine. Who wants the headache of running the world and hoarding all the money? That's just a lot of people who can be mad at you at one time. Those kinds of goals, those kinds of attitudes that we've all been asked to assimilate to through our schooling and through our just indoctrination, put your hand over the heart and pledge allegiance to the almighty dollar any way you can get one by gunpoint. I mean, it's just wrong. And it's wrong because we could do so much better. You know, I'm amazed by the people that I meet here, people who are American citizens, people who love this country, people who have families and history and roots, and their stories that are left out of the big book of American stories are fascinating and valuable, and they make more sense than just everybody fighting all the time over, well, just to keep basically white people from trying to tell everybody what to do. So it's like, why don't we all just appreciate, you know, these wonderful stories these Native children could have grown up to tell us. And now the stories they have to tell us are horror stories when they could have told us all the wonderful things that they grew up knowing in their histories. And so let's all, you know, stop being assholes. It's really simple. Let's just start thinking about the other people as people And that's all. And accept them for who they are and how they treat you. First, you have to learn the history. And second, you have to put it in context. And then use what you need and let the rest of it go back into the dustbin, you know? So that's what we're all about. We are about everybody being who they are, contributing what they have to give. Because let me tell you something about this business before I introduce my guest. Let me tell you something about show business. Nobody asks you to do this. Nobody drafts you into this business. You have to come to this on your own. And if this is what's on your heart, if this is what you find yourself compelled to do, embrace that, accept that. That is your blueprint for the rest of your life. And if you follow that, you will never fail. You might not move as fast as you want to. You might not go the way you think you want to go. But if you follow that spark that makes you want to do this, have to do this, trust that. That's your message for your life. So right now, I want to introduce my friend. We've hung out here and, you know, but we get busy and she's such a globetrotter. I can't ever catch up with her. So for her to be available to stop here tonight at this midnight hour, we are very fortunate. And I know you're going to love her and enjoy her and say hello to my friend, Roz Ryan.
Hey.
Hey. Ooh, what are you drinking?
Adult beverage.
Okay.
Hello, Adam. Okay. I just thought I'd join in the festivities.
All right. Well, here's to you, to me, and a wonderful show.
Mm-hmm.
What'd I do? What'd I say?
living life. Just what you were talking about. It was so beautiful. Just living life and life, letting life.
Yes.
Hoping it continues to life.
Get you into show business. How did your life get you into show business?
I was 14. My Aunt Lois had a cocktail party for her bougie friends. Okay. And she wanted me to come and serve. So I went over to my Aunt Lois's house and I was in the kitchen and I was singing. And I went in the room and she said, would you sing for the ladies? And I'm like, sure, because I'm a Motown baby. I came up in Detroit, so... And I started singing and they started giving me money. And I said, hold on a minute. Now look here, I can get paid for this.
Okay.
Hold on. So at 17, I entered the WCHB talent show at the Fox Theater with my two cousins, Tony and Zita. And we won. And I got a manager, Eli Fontaine, who was also called the Golden Horn at Motown. And I started working in the 20 Grand Driftwood Lounge when I was 17.
Okay.
It was different back then, though. It was safe. It was different back then. And then I just worked the clubs, and the rest is mystery.
What year was this?
This was 69, 70.
Okay. Had they made the drinking age 18 yet?
No, but they told me that I could go from the dressing room to the stage, from the stage to the dressing room. That lasted for about a year.
Okay.
So at about 17, 18, I had my first Beef Eaters on the rocks.
All right. Yeah, well, you know, I was 14 then, but when I started, they had changed the drinking age to 18. So I could get in bars when I was 15. Because, you know, all you needed was a high school ID and your thumb right over the thing. And if it was that kind of bar, they let you in. Right. And so I had been going to bars for years and years.
But I had a gig. I couldn't even go to a
party. Once you started, where did it take you and how did you know you wanted to go there?
Because it came, I would say it came so natural. It felt like just a part of me. And when I started working in the clubs, everything just kind of fell into place. I remember at one point I opened for Arthur Prysock, and the following week I opened for the Funkadelics. So I'm like, okay, that is your lesson in versatility. Now, you know, okay. You can sing some different stuff, but it was just natural. And it just kept flowing and flowing. And I worked the clubs for almost 11 years. And then at one point, a friend of mine told me they were holding auditions for Misbehavin on Broadway. And I was hanging out a little hard and doing some stuff that I probably shouldn't have been doing. And I went to the audition and said, y'all got to get me out of here because I'm finna be in trouble. Okay. And I got the gig and I went to Broadway.
Well, all right. That sounds pretty interesting.
So I call it my Cinderella slipper.
Now, where are you? You're from Detroit.
Yes.
And this might sound strange, but being from Chicago, I know dreams are not necessarily encouraged all the time. That when you have dreams, a lot of times you are told that you need to be more practical, you need to have something to fall back on, you need to have get married and all that kind of stuff and get a job. And did you have that kind of pressure?
No, I'm the youngest of four.
Okay.
And by the time they got to me, I think they were done. So the fact that I wanted to do this for the first 2 years, my father drove me everywhere from club to club. He would take me, drop me off. I'd do my show. He'd pick me up, bring me back home. And then at one point, he started dropping me off at the after-hour joints because, you know, we go do the jam sessions.
Okay.
And then after a while, I started working with a group called Jake Wade and the Soul Searchers, which was turned into a group called Riot. And Jake Wade would pick me up and Orthea Barnes would pick me up. I didn't learn how to drive till I was 22.
Okay.
Because they would pick me up.
I was the baby. So
25, really?
Yeah. Well, in Chicago, you didn't have to know how to drive. There's transportation.
No.
So I didn't have to know. Well, and when I started working in clubs, the comics, a lot of them would, Tom Dries, Jim, Bill Miller, Brad Sanders, and others would take me home.
Yeah.
So I only had to worry about getting there.
Yeah.
How'd you get into television?
Wow, that is, I was doing Dreamgirls on Broadway, and there was an audition for JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling. And I went before Ruben Cannon, and Ruben said, you're too young, but I'm gonna get something for you. He called me again, and I had moved to Florida because I got married. That's a whole nother bag of worms. I had gotten married and I moved to Florida and I went back to New York and Ruben said, I got a TV show. Can you come? I went before him, went back home and he said, can you come back? Ed Weinberger is going to come in. And I said, sure. So I went back, I auditioned for Ed Weinberger and they sent me to California. And that was also the end of my marriage.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, a lifeline or, you know, did they throw you a lifeline as far as the marriage was concerned?
I didn't recognize it as a lifeline, but yes, I didn't recognize it that what it was, but yes, it was.
Because once you had,
I was dedicated to what I was doing.
Once you had that behind you and realized, whew, now you're in a whole place you've never been before and you got a new job.
Weirdest thing is I told my mother, I said, now I'm a singer. I'm a nightclub singer from Detroit. That's why I came up. I had never acted in my life except what I did on Broadway, but I always had the music just in case the other stuff wasn't working. I told my mom, I said, they didn't hire me as a singer. They hired me as an actress. And she kind of laughed and said, well, maybe they see something in you that you don't know you got. And the first time I did the pilot, Sherman Hemsley came over to me and he said, you're natural. And I said, okay, I'm not quite sure what that means, but okay.
means relax and do it. I had the similar experience. I'm a stand-up.
Yeah.
I know nothing about acting. I, you know, they
but you do.
Me out on stuff. And so I just, you know, the advice I gave from other people who didn't know what they were doing,
right,
trust your instincts and
do what you do.
Told me to do what little kids do. And yeah. Somebody said, you know, if you tell little kids, you say, you be Batman and you be the chief of police. They don't go, okay, well, what am I wearing? What is my what is motivation? My they go right into, I am Superman. You better get off there. And they go right into character. And they say, you can do that.
Yeah.
You'll be okay. So
it was refreshing. We did 5 years on Amen. And then I did another show with Ed Weinberger, who I'm still very close to this day. That is a 40-year friendship with him and his wife. That when I got ill at one point and his wife, Carlene, was sending food over to my house every weekend. And I'm like, Car, stop. First of all, I can't eat that much. And she would say, what country would you like today? And she would send Indian food and Greek food. And it was ridiculous. And finally, I just had to stop her. But we've been friends for 40 years.
That's good to hear. That's a long, you know.
Yeah, it's good friendship.
Yeah. So Anna was here last week.
That's my friend girl.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's my sister girl. She said everybody thinks she's me. And
what?
Yeah, thinks she's me. I ain't mad at her. When I put her history of working on Soul online, the young people ate it up. They loved it. They loved that. Having that knowledge of that.
Still
background.
To this day, she's still a workhorse.
Yeah,
she's still working good and too. Y'all, constant.
Everybody still looks good. Now I worked with Sherman once on The Good Show, whatever that was he did, where he was name was Good. He came after Amen and those. And he was wonderful to work with. What was it like when you worked with him? What was that? I mean, because, you know, wait a minute, Clifton Davis.
Duncan. Oh, he going to kill me for that.
What do you call
him? I call him Duncan.
Oh. That's his name. But that's the prettiest man I've ever seen up close.
He's absolutely gorgeous inside.
Yes.
Clifton and I are very close to this day. Clifton and Anna are very close. Clifton talked me through my divorce. He loved me as a sister through my divorce. And it was one of the most beautiful things. And to this very day, I just adore him. Absolutely adore him.
I haven't and heard anybody beautiful. Say anything yeah. otherwise.
He's still fine.
Yes, he is.
He's on a new show, Behind the Gate.
I mean, that's sitcom. No, so far.
Behind the Gates.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He's still, like you said, but...
He's still fine.
When I first saw him, Never Can Say Goodbye, you know.
He
and Melba Moore had that summer replacement show.
Right.
And... everybody was in love with him then. Then he got That's My Mama.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I did the Richard Pryor show and I'm walking onto the set at NBC, I don't know my way around nothing. I'm 23, mm-hmm. stupid. And I walked in and was about to go into the studio where they told me to go. And Richard Pryor was standing there and right here was Clifton Davis. And I looked up and went, he just had the prettiest brown eyes and just beautiful skin. He's just a gorgeous man. And like you said, he was always very nice. He just burst into a smile and said hello. I mean, it was just a magic moment.
One of those guys that he
a young girl.
Appreciates women. He really does.
It's
caring.
Really rare to meet men who love women for who we are and not who they want us to be.
Yeah.
And my sons are those kind of men. I have a lot of sons. You know, I believe the world needs to be mothered.
Absolutely.
And I think that's what's missing now in the conversation. We get all this extreme macho dad discipline kind of mentality, and we really need somebody to say, okay, honey, that's enough. Come here and talk
because
to mom.
That ruins our men. That ruins our men. You have to be able to, you know, to cry, to feel, to share emotion, especially at a time like this. This is a time when Stephen was, we all need to just grab that blanket and wrap it around everybody and just hold everybody you can.
Okay. Did you see the Met Gala?
Yes, I did.
What do you think?
I thought Diana Ross shut it down.
Okay, well, don't she always? Ain't that her job?
She did, baby. Do you know the train was forever, forever long, but do you know what was on the train?
No.
In Swarovski crystals was the names of her children and her grandchildren.
No.
On the train.
Oh,
she said, that's my Detroit home. She shut it down. Okay. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was really beautiful. I thought I was really, Anna went to her. I was very happy with her. I was happy with her doing that the way that she chose to do it this year. And I was happy with the exclusion too. Hallelujah.
Okay. Well, have you done the Met Gala?
Oh, no, darling. No, 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 no. I'm not a kind of girl. I'm not her.
You're not a fashionista?
No. Well, I take it off
I
and put it on.
I thought you were.
But no, I'm not a red carpet girl. I believe, too, because the status that I've had in this industry, I have been totem poled to where I've been standing at a red carpet, especially in L.A. In New York, not so much. They're pretty good to me in New York. But in L.A., I've been standing on a red carpet and I've been told, excuse me, a talent coming through. Yeah. And I'm like, I'll play with y'all. Okay, I ain't playing with y'all because I can always go back to New York. So I don't deal with
it. It can be uncomfortable. And I always prefer to sneak in the back myself.
Me too. And I don't want to be uncomfortable. I'm not going to help you make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, well, nowadays I'm a little more comfortable than I used to was. But then back then I was in the closet. And so public was, uncomfortable.
Right.
You never know how to navigate through and maintain. So, but now everything's out, like you said, in the open.
I don't even go out much anymore. I think because I came up in the clubs, I've done Broadway. I did Broadway for 42 years.
Okay.
I got an anniversary card from Actors Equity that said happy anniversary.
What's your favorite Broadway experience?
I would have to say Dreamgirls. I would have to say Dreamgirls because it took me away from what I thought was my limit. It made me rise to the show as opposed to me just getting up and singing what I know. I had to take another step because I told Jennifer Holliday one day, I said, when I get through, I'm going to beat you up. Because she created this song that nobody, it was difficult. It was absolutely difficult. But I think that would be my best experience on Broadway because I had to grow. I was forced.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that you were more than ready for the challenge, whether you knew it or not. What are you doing now? And what would you like to do if you could do whatever you wanted to do?
Well, at this stage of my life, I am at a point where I am able to do, which is be a vagabond. I am packing up my house. I am giving up my root. And I am going to travel for a couple of years and just enjoy a lot of places that I've been that I had to work when I was there. And I want to go there without having to work so that I can embrace some of those beautiful places.
Ooh.
So I want to travel.
Like where?
Dubai, Australia, some of the places that I have still have friends too. I still have people there. I really just want to go back and hang out. Dubai, Australia, I'm not going to say that. That's not nice. There's some places I don't want to go back.
Name one. Come on.
Germany.
Okay. Don't like schnitzel?
Germany. That's one No, they didn't like schnitzel.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't like my schnitzel.
They didn't like you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it was an interesting trip. But there's just some beautiful places that I've seen. I want to go back to Israel. We did Ain't Misbehaving in Israel.
Okay.
It was absolutely awesome. It was really awesome. So some of these places, I just want to go back and just hang out and just swim with some turtles and dolphins and just hang out.
I am sure that will be wonderful, and you more than deserve to do whatever the hell you want to do. And yeah. I am so grateful you're here. And I remember when we went out and hung out when you came to the Strat, to the LA Sphere.
We were talking about that the other night. Me and Corey. Corey was with me, and I said, "You remember that night that we went out with Marsha, and we went to that fabulous restaurant, and didn't we go see Absinthe or Opie?"
Yes, Absinthe. I think we did. Absinthe. That's yes. Stephen yes. hooked that up. My son, I'm getting ready to introduce. But yes, we had a ball. We went to Hash House.
We had a ball,
and we got to do that again sometime. Once you get through crawling the earth or traveling the earth.
No, I'm going to go to the Ice House before I go.
Oh, okay. you know what they did over there? They gave me a day to do whatever I want. And I wanted to create this Marshaverse and extend it where the rules are the rules I set for the whole world. And they said, well, what do you want it to look like? And it looks like what I dreamed of. You know how you have a vision and you try to implement and you're not sure, you know, but then you see it and it's more than you imagined. And so it's the Marshaverse. It's the world I created. They started serving chicken and waffles and peach cobbler. Because I wanted it to feel like Sunday dinner at Mama's house or TT's house. And it's that kind of environment. You come in, you hear nice jazz and R&B, and it's got a kind of supper club vibe. And it's just to see this come to my...
The next time you're there is the
25th of May.
I'll be there.
Yes, Sunday. I look forward to it. Will you sit here for a minute with me while I introduce my sons and you can say hello because they love you and have all kinds of questions. So let's start with the one you met, my oldest son, the one who looks just like me. And he is not just, he's producing this show. He produces my one woman stand-up show. He's become more than a friend and a comedian. He's my number one son. Say hello. First, you're going to play a little something, so introductory moment, but say hello to my son, Stephen Roberts.
Can you hear that? What's the point of that? Why does it have to be that loud? Yes, enjoy your music while you're painting your house or washing your car or whatever. Enjoy your music, maybe on headphones, maybe a little lower. Why? Why does it have to be this loud? Why do we all have to hear your music in the neighborhood? Why? Why? Or at least you could play music I like. I mean, how about that?
Hi, Steven.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. It's so good to see you. The last, what you guys were talking about that night that we had so much fun, that was 7 years ago.
Time flies when you're getting old.
Did Martha really tell you that I came to the Stratosphere like 5 hours prior to your gig? I thought it was at a certain time, and I'm sitting on there gambling, and I'm out on the phone. I'm like, I'm down here. What are you doing? She said, what time was it? Like 10 o'clock?
I thought it was a late show. I had a late show then, but we did hang out. We had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun.
I just want to tell the people, imagine... We're in Marsha's car. Marsha's driving. Roz is sitting shotgun. I'm in the back in the middle.
and we are just cutting up as we drive through Las Vegas.
I know.
Make a little stop here. And then what did you say?
I just said on the boulevard. We're driving
on the boulevard. And she was wheeling. She's pulling in here. We're going to the restaurant. Pull in here. We're going to the show. Pull in here. Let's go over here. What they doing over there?
Had a ball. We got to do that again.
Yeah.
I have a question.
I have a picture of that we're going to put up.
Oh, we have a picture?
Yep.
Yeah, what? I think I do too. I have a picture. We took pictures that night. Did we go to the Dirty?
We did take pictures.
We might have went to the Dirty too.
Is the Dirty a restaurant?
No, we didn't go to the Dirty that night.
We went somewhere where we took a lot of pictures. No, we went to Hash House.
We talked about the Dirty though.
Yeah.
But we went to Hash House. But we talked about the Dirty.
We took pictures there. And we took pictures at the LA Comedy Club.
For those,
but now, right? Before you ask questions and we get too busy, we have to bring out my number two son. Number two sounds awful. My problem child. That's just a compliment because he's adorable.
He's so young.
Yeah, he would get into trouble, more trouble than he does. He's just so damn cute. And he has a residency at Jimmy Kimmel's on Friday night, Show Those Skills. He works with Lunel on Mondays and Tuesdays, and he's going to show you a little bit of himself on his video now.
Good morning, famo. Yes, what up, Marsh Birds? Skills from the street. Just coming from Albertsons this morning. I just had a situation where I thought they were talking about me, even though I know I wasn't stealing nothing. But I heard them over the intercom saying, security check, such and such aisle, such and such aisle, or such and such aisle. And I was in all of such and such aisles. But when I got up to the front to pay for my stuff, because I was paying for my stuff, I'm not stealing. I seen a gentleman, older guy, leather coat on, with all type of stuff they were taking from up under his jacket. Well, he was taking it from up under his jacket because they weren't going to let him out if he didn't take it from up under his jacket. And he was cursing them out as he was taking the stuff from up under the jacket, saying, I don't want this shit anyway. Yes, you do, sir, because you were stealing it. And you know he was white. Because he was complaining that y'all caught him from stealing. But yeah, now I'm about to go eat me some breakfast.
Okay, Raj, say hi to my problem child, Skills Hudson.
Hey, Raj.
Hi, baby.
I'm glad y'all finally brought me in.
Yeah, we was trying to forget you. Yeah, but you know,
why was I not in the story that y'all just told?
Oh, that night?
Yeah, I don't remember why.
Yes, I wasn't invited or anything.
You probably weren't even in town.
You weren't there.
You would have been if you would, because we was at the LA Comedy Club, and if you had been in town, you'd have been there.
You'd have been there. You were there. You weren't there, baby.
Well, anyway. I want to say this. Before we go any farther, I want to say this for Roz. Practices and everything. Thank you, Roz, for coming on the show with us this week. All right.
You wrote that and practiced that just for her. I know. I am touched.
You love the baby. I miss you too.
So, Stephen, you had a question burning on your tongue?
I would like to know.
Yes.
Because I believe this came after I met you. I would like to know, how did In These Streets come to be? And I know you've probably explained this a million times, but I would love to hear this story from you.
Okay. Jennifer Lewis and I have been friends for 100 years. And we were only 50. But we've been friends forever. Brandy, I did Chicago the Musical with Brandy. Jennifer came to see the show. And she said to me and Brandy, they've been friends too. She said to me and Brandy, why don't y'all come over for dinner? We said, okay. And the way Jennifer tells it is the bitches showed up and I didn't have no food. Wasn't true. I cooked a huge salmon with potatoes and corn and the whole shebang. I had champagne. Nobody drinks champagne but me. They don't drink. And thank God they don't drink. I'm really happy they don't drink. But we were sitting at the piano. Jennifer was at the piano. I was in the kitchen. Brandy disappeared. Jennifer has this massive house, and Brandy disappeared. And Jennifer kept saying, where's the little girl? Where's the little girl? And I said, B, where you at? And she said, I'm in here. The energy's too big in there. So Jennifer said, just come on in here. You know how Jenny talked. Come on in here. So she came in and she said, what you doing? And she said, I was just thinking, you know, because you know what's going on in these streets. And she said, in these streets? What she talking about in these streets? She said, wait a minute, I like that. And Jenny started playing these chords on the piano. And she said, okay, y'all, come over here. Let's write something. And we literally sat down and wrote In These Streets.
Okay.
That's the whole story.
Go ahead.
But that's the whole story.
Who recorded it? Was that you that recorded it?
We all had our phones sitting up on the piano.
Yeah.
So
they had a three camera set up.
Three cameras. There, you know, girl, three camera action going on.
I know. So who directed?
But we had cameras. And Jenny wanted to post it that night. And Brandy said, no, you can't post it tonight, Auntie, because you have to do it tomorrow morning, because then everybody get up and they'll see it. If you post it tonight, it's going to get lost. And we were like, oh, the little millennial, she knows some stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
So we posted it the next day and it went right. It's a phone. You can put it on your phone. I had it on my phone at once, and I was in a very quiet place, and I couldn't find my phone in my purse, and it was extremely loud. And when I finally found the phone, I couldn't figure out how to turn it off, and it just kept going and going. And I was like, okay, it's me. I did it. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to take the blame. And I'm gonna get
that to leave song, like this.
It's me.
That song is my spirit animal.
Well, it really applies to today, don't you think?
Oh, it absolutely does.
Okay.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets. I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets. Cause ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time. Ain't nobody got time for that.
The what?
Shit.
Yeah. Yes, well, Miss Jennifer is everybody's friend. I know you said she was your friend. She's everybody's friend. I think I met Jennifer.
Oh, Jenny.
Yes, in like 1977, 76, you know. That's
about the time I met her in 79.
Yeah, it was early
on. But yeah, she is everybody's friend.
Yes. And I'm glad she's okay. She's had her share of adventure, and I'm glad everything has worked out and she's okay.
And she tells the stories very well. As we said, if you tell it yourself, it takes the sting out. So she tells the story in both of her books. She mentioned me in one of her books. She mentioned me in both books, but that part.
Yeah. Well, I know Skills has a question or two.
It's glad that y'all did post it that morning, because I remember watching it right when I got up in the morning. I had rolled up some of the good weed that I always keep on deck. But I remember waking up and in them streets was on. I was ready. But okay, what I wanted to say is if you could sum up your career to this point in two words, what would that be?
Been blessed. Been blessed.
Wow. Yeah. Blessed. What's that song?
Another word. Hallelujah.
I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Yes. Well, we are blessed, and we are very grateful that you are here and that you took time out of your evening spend it with us. And you're welcome to come back anytime if you happen to stop by. I have a friend who lives in Bali. So if you get to Bali, stop by and say hi to him.
Oh, I will. Get there. I'll let you and find out what the friend's name is.
Okay. I know he would be thrilled. But please come back again. And thank you so much for sharing your story.
Thank you for having
me. Your time with us.
And sharing your sons with me.
Anytime. You shared your son with me.
I sure did.
Yeah. How's he doing?
He's good. He's real good.
Good.
He's real
glad. And once, like I said, we're going to get in the car. I still got the same car. We're going to get in the car.
You still got the same car.
Yes. I'm going to drive until the wheels fall off.
Right? That's what you're supposed to do.
No. It ain't older than me, so it still goes. So
we look, long as it go, it go.
It goes. Thank you again, and please come back.
I will.
Love bye, you. Darling. All the best to you.
Adore you, baby.
Okay, good night. So wasn't that lovely?
It was amazing.
It was lovely. She's a lovely lady, and I admire and envy her on that world travel trip thing. You know, what a wonderful thing to do. That's the whole point of life, is to chill like that, whatever it is that makes you happy. You know, what a much better way to live than the way we do, you know, where everything is just out of reach that you want to do and you still got to hustle to try to get a little piece of it. Isn't it nice to be able to think that there might be a time where you can just do whatever the fuck you want?
Yeah. But you know, the thing is, the interesting thing about Roz to me is that there are people who are real givers, and she is a giver just in her being.
Yeah.
And I really feel like when you can be a giver from your being, that's when you get everything. That's when life becomes so easy, because you're so freely giving it away. Yeah. And I mean, she's just an absolute joy to be in the presence of. I admire her so much.
I was more drawn to the African Nigerian designs compared to ours, you know, Western Met Gala styles. I mean, you know, it's seeming like doing a little research on it, it seems like our styles are more like quick, just flashy, catch your eye, you know, trendy. Where when I went down that rabbit hole of what about watching the African cultures, it's more, it's always like vibrant colors, is which I love colors, if y'all know. So like
no.
Those who colors you? And then the fabrics, you know.
Yes.
And Ma, I wanted to say this, that about like the about the dandies that you were saying about, because I didn't, you know, until found out about that in the Congo, that it was this group that they were like, they dressed like that, but they were like low income, but everybody in the surroundings treated them like gods, like treated them, you know, because how they dressed. And they would bring them in to like when they would have people from out of the country, you know, diplomats, they would bring them in as like a diplomat, you know the word I'm trying to get to.
Dignitaries.
Diplomat, you combine
dignitaries and diplomat together. I'm sure you meant dignitaries, but that's cool. We understood. You know, that's the beauty of language, and especially I find African American vernacular English. We find ways to repurpose words, to combine words till they make more sense than they did before. And so, diplomaries, I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you at all.
No, that's actually pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to try to use that in my,
like my love affair,
theology.
Like my love affair with skills. It's a bromance.
It's a bromance. And that's, what did you call, him your brosis? Oh, he calls you.
Yeah, he calls me his brosis.
His brosis. Did you ever ask permission to try to call him brosis?
It sounds like a virus. I've got brosis.
He says it sounds like a virus. I got a bad case of brosis.
Nah, you my brosis.
What did you
y'all not
think
saying
of
it right?
Met Gala versus the Nigerian fashion, Stephen?
You know what? I thought that it was very, the Met Gala one was very Billy Porter-esque. That when Billy Porter several years ago started coming out in a dress with very tailored jackets that went with the dress and you saw through this dandy perspective how the squared off shoulders and the very 40s type jackets, and you know, Janelle Monáe being one of the best examples of that, among others, that it really looked like they're still exploring this gender question, which I think it's time to move on, actually. But it reminded me a lot of Billy Porter. Then looking at the African pageantry, mm-hmm. I thought that the women's dresses were very traditional as far as form-fitting pageant gowns go. I thought that they were very traditional with lots of embellishments. And I thought, well, I don't see a lot of progression there either. And then I looked at the men's outfits, and the men's outfits look like Billy Porter. There was this one guy all in black with an elephant on the skirt, and the skirt goes way, way, way out. It looked very much like Billy Porter's outfits from 5 to 6 years ago. So I felt like it was a bit of, we're not through with this conversation of gender bending and exploration of trans and just what is gender. We're not done with that conversation.
Well, no, we're not comfortable with it. But what impressed me so much about the Nigerian fashions, especially being that they were representative of Mother Nature, I felt very viscerally attached to or attracted to what they represented. Each one right away, I'm like, that's the ocean. That's the tree of life. That's and the tree of life. She looked like she was growing out of the floor. She looked like she was rooted in the earth and her hair. And I mean, I just thought it was.
And then there's one with all safety pins. Did you see that
one? Safety pins, that one too. I mean, all of them, the one that, like I said, the ocean is the stars, the woman standing there looking like the freaking galaxy.
And then you take safety pins and you make them look of the earth. That's
and you make them look like jewels. They're just, I thought I was.
3 million.
Like I said, I was very viscerally drawn to the Nigerian fashions and the elegance that I saw. I just thought they were really, really regal and well worth talking about for an hour. But anyway, I think we've had a full conversation, have we not?
It's been great.
So I am.
Hey, one last thing though about the coochie breathing, mama.
The coochie breathing, okay.
I'm glad that I got a chance to see that, because I totally agree with that. And that's why I don't have on drawers during this taping.
Okay, so you let
But you don't have a coochie.
Breathe. You let your coochie breathe. Hello?
True, it's true. But I have balls that get constricted when I'm, you know what I'm saying? And then sometimes, you know, my girl, Christy likes my underwear a little bit more fitting, but being that I've seen that, I was like, you know what? I'm letting mine breathe tonight, and I love it.
Let it breathe. It's such a nice night. It might as well stay out.
This cracking in the seat is kind of cutting me, but.
Well, on that note, thank you so much for the visual that I have to go wash my eyes out with bleach. never see
Sorry.
That again. It's okay. You're just your ball stuck to your seat. You know, a mother knows these things. Anyway, thank you all so much. And I will look for you skills. Where are you going besides Shoto Skills and Lunel?
The 30th and the 31st, I will be in Chicago at Riddles Comedy Club.
That's a nice place. Damon still got it?
He's turned it over to this comic named Stick from Chicago.
Okay. Well, it was nice when I was there and had my Chicago brethren who I love. And speaking of them, before I get to you, Stephen, Dilla is doing hella good. His saying, "Everything dope comes from Chicago." They use that to announce the Pope. I mean, he's Mr. Chicago, and I am so happy for him. David's book is doing well. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I haven't even picked it up. He sent it to me, and I've been too scattered to go get it. But I want everybody to get it because it's doing well, and he deserves to be recognized. And my young friend, Danielle McLaughlin, I just adore him, and I expect to see really him change the conversation about empowerment and deconstruction and finding your indigenous African spirituality that we all, those of us of the diaspora, have. And on that note, Stephen.
I'm going to be feeding the homeless on Saturday.
Do you ever feel like, not really, do you ever feel like our redheaded stepchild?
No. Good. I don't feel like your redheaded stepchild. I feel like the neighbor sometimes that was invited to the cookout.
Mr. Roper. You're our Mr. Roper.
You know, why do I have to be Mr. Roper? Why can't I be Mrs.
Gladys Kravitz?
I was going to say
Gladys Kravitz. What neighbor would you want to be?
Well, I think that I would want to be your neighbor. Who's the guy on Tool Time where you only see his face?
I don't know. Did he have a name?
Tim, I don't think he did. It was just the neighbor, Tim Allen's show.
Yeah, Tool Time.
No, I don't want to be anonymous.
What was the name of that show? I don't remember.
I don't know. I didn't like it.
A little macho, hey?
A little macho, a little Tool Timey. Yeah. I will be at Roastalmania 6 on May 24th, battling Joe Calise. Come and see me there. Okay. And you can also see me on, I'll be doing Jimmy Kimmel's twice, one at 6 o'clock that same day and one at 11:30.
Okay, you're going to have a long break in between. You're going to have dinner. Want to have dinner?
Let's do.
Okay. Well,
hey, we should remind everybody to give to the Black Heritage Museums throughout our country.
African American History Museums are in trouble now. They're being defunded, and I am such a big fan of them. They keep our history alive, and anything that keeps our history alive is precious to me, and I want anyone who can to do everything they can to preserve as much history as possible, whether it's making a donation, whether it's writing your family story down. If you have, you know, your history and you can trace it and you're willing to share it, that's really valuable information. We need as many of those stories as we can to hear what people actually said, what they actually thought, how they actually felt, without interference from other people, because a lot of the history we have came through people who didn't understand the culture they were being introduced to. And so a lot of things that were said to them either triggered them and they wanted them changed. No, we're not that bad people. Yeah, you are. Or they tried to make it palatable. And I'm talking about when your grandparents tell you their stories. Raw, emotional, and a lot of times just matter of fact. Just the matter of factness of them can be harrowing. So record them, write them down, keep them, and share them. You know, a lot of museums really want that information. So let's preserve our history. And the Jim Crow Museum, they've broken ground on their new building, and it's coming along, And we need to make sure that the artifacts and things at the African American History Museum and all of the other heritage sites and museums are treated as special and precious as they are. And on that note, I'd like to leave you with the last word, which we will give to my friend Chukai Galakoa. I call him, he calls himself a Papa Witch. He's a bit of a shaman, and he's also an activist. And in this video that we're going to leave you with, he's going to share some history that needs to be remembered. Thank you so much for spending time with us. I look forward to spending time with you again next week. And we're going to have a special guest next week that I think you're going to enjoy. We've got some pretty good people lined up in the coming week. So stay tuned. We're going to share some laughs, some love, some history, some lessons. Come back again. Leave us a note. Tell us how much you love us. We appreciate that. Bye.
Here we go again, guys. We're back in the saddle today, working it out, getting ready for the AIDS life cycle ride, which started off as the car ride, California AIDS ride, back in the day. This is a really, really powerful time, guys. This is the last one. A lot of things come up for me with this thing. It was always joyous and beautiful and awful and terrible, depressing, inspiring, brings up memories of so many people we've lost. So many people have lost so many people. It brings up how f***ed up our government was, how awful families were to their own people, how terrible churches were, how awful, awful humans showed their horrific human self. And at the same time, there were humans in the thick of it all who actually stepped up and were good human beings. Were human beings who gave a shit. Human beings who actually fought for dignity, for the right to exist. This was a really powerful time that not everybody made it. And those of us who did, we carry a lot of memories. As I mentioned, a lot of people lost a lot of people. And right now, it's kind of a bittersweet. I don't even know if that really covers it, but it's a trippy thing, this being the last AIDS life cycle event. So if you'd like to help out with the donation, please do. If you just want to take a moment and send some good vibes, if you're a praying kind of person, throw a prayer up. If you're an energy worker, throw some good energy. If you've got a buck or two or three or 20 or 100, throw it in the mix. It all goes to a good cause. So if you have any questions, just DM me. It's another beautiful day out here, and we're doing a damn thing, as they say. What the heck? Oh, where is that? Oh, there it goes. It sounded like it was right over my head, and it kind of was. Alrighty, and then a nice bird has flown onto the water. Not sure what that is from here. Oh, it's a seagull. Anywho, ADDCOTCOM. I love you guys, and yeah, hit me up if you have any questions about the ride, what's going on. I'll be here in Scotland until a few days before the ride, then I'm heading to San Francisco. If you're in San Francisco, let's plan a meetup. Let's do a hookup. Let's do pizza or something. Go out for a few pints, whatever the hell. I would love to see y'all. If I don't see you in San Francisco, I'll see you when we arrive in LA. I'll be in town for a little bit before popping off to Mexico. So let's figure a time to meet. Give me a shout. As you can tell, I'm just kind of rambling on right now because I'm loving this view right here. I'm just going to hang out here and probably have a little snack and then be on my way. So anyway, I love you guys. Stay in touch. Drop a donation. Do what you can. Whatever you can. It's much appreciated and very much valued and needed. Your donations help a lot.
She got a way, no one can do it like that. Her own style, no one can wear that hat. Hey, don't you know that the queen is back? She's back, she's back. She withstands the test of time. When it comes to strength, she comes to mind. Get down, she gets back.